Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 97. This is the show about the TV, movies, comics, and books that you love. Every week we give you a little bit of geek news and then jump into the fandoms for discussion. This week we're looking forward to 2017 with some prospects and some predictions. But first, gazing into my crystal ball, I am Brandon Ushio. And joining me while getting ready for another lap is Jeff Dumas.
No. Nap. N-A-P, not L-A-P.
Nap. Okay.
No. It's another lap around the sun, another... who cares? and insert cliche here.
You know, I was looking at Facebook memories the other day, and I had a buddy who, at the beginning of January 2016, he posted, "No 2016 spoilers. I haven't seen it yet."
Oh, man, would he have been disappointed.
Boy, I don't think he was in for the horror movie that we watched this last year.
2016 kind of sucked. But, you know, I hear a lot of people say, like, you know, a lot of people complain about 2017 or 2016.
Wait, they're preemptively complaining about 2017. They're just getting ready.
Well, I have friends who are like, 2016 might have sucked for famous people, but my child was born, or I got married, or I met my future wife. So it's like, you got to look for the good. I mean, it's easy to say, well, it went wrong, but it's also easy to look at, hey, well, like this year, I got a new job. So it's like, can't be all bad.
Right. Just, I mean, there were definitely some bad things, but there's always some bad things in the years somewhere. And a lot of them had piled up at the very end of the 2016, which made it difficult, and right at the beginning and right at the end. And I think that was the magic recipe to make people hate the year.
There's a meme online. It's like, in the future, a child goes to his parents and said, "Hey, so why don't you tell me about 2016? And the dad or whatever, well, he grabs some alcohol and chugs it down and goes, "It all started with this stupid gorilla."
Harambe!
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I saw another comic strip like that where it was like a space station, sci-fi space school, and the teacher says, "All right, students, that was 2015. Now let's go on to 2017. And one of the students raises their hand, "But what about 2016? "We don't talk about 2016.
Oh, yeah. Good old internet.
Happy New Year. Well, welcome to the new year. This should make a lot of people rather happy.
Let's hope so.
In case you're keeping score, Nick is not here. He had a family thing that he had to be at, and so we wish him the best there. But he told us that we should go on without him, save ourselves, and so we did. So
we left him behind. The zombies of 2016 are tearing him apart. Anyway,
good luck, Nick. He told us to save ourselves, so here we are.
Or did we shoot him in the knee so we could escape? Either way, he's not here.
Yeah.
It's that joke. You don't have to run faster. You don't have to outrun the zombie or the bear.
I think those can be interchangeable, right? Right?
Yeah. Zombies, bears.
But the zombie, you can just bears. Play dead, right?
Yeah.
Zombie bears. All right.
All right. Someone write that comic book.
I'm sure it's been written. All right. Okay. So let's jump into the random fandom.
You're a wizard.
You are entering the Random Fandom.
The Random Fandom is the segment of the show where we take your picks and we share them with the rest of the audience. So you guys send us in your favorite books, movies, TV shows, comics, toys, actors, whatever you want. And we turn around and we talk about it a little bit on the podcast. So, hey, this week on the Random Fandom, we got an email from Patrick Clark where he wrote in to tell us about one of his favorite fandoms of the moment because of something that Jeff and I made the mistake on during the Rogue One podcast. This is what Patrick sent in to us. He said, "During your Rogue One podcast, I was a bit surprised that none of you could name Peter Cushing right away. He was an enduring part of my childhood. Thanks mainly to his starring roles in any number of horror films. I had a lot of nightmares as a kid, thanks to watching these on Saturday afternoon and late night. It never stopped me from watching the next one, though. His biggest claims to fame, pre-Star Wars at least, was Dr. Frankenstein in Hammer Films' series of the same name, and Dr. Van Helsing opposite Christopher Lee as Dracula, also Hammer. He was really an icon of horror, though, appearing in all sorts of movies, TV series along those lines. Of course, he acted in all types of productions, comedies, dramas, etc. His moment as a bookseller in Top Secret is one of the high points of a decidedly lowbrow film. So, he even played both Sherlock Holmes and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle at various times. And as you noted, the episode Doctor Who that was a theatrical release. By the way, not just a TV movie.
So, yeah, he wrote more, but I'd like to point out, Peter Cushing died in 94. I just looked it up. So I was one. His last movie was in 86. Yeah.
I was two.
So I'm sorry for not immediately getting this person's name, but I have only seen him in Star Wars.
I went back and re-listened to the podcast. I was like, did we really forget his name? And then so what happened was we had said his name a couple times in reference to some CGI stuff that had gone on. And the more I think about that CGI stuff, by the way, the more I think it is a product of us knowing that it's not real. Because if we didn't know that Peter Cushing died in 94, we probably would have been like, oh, who was that actor? But anyway, we said his name a couple times before, and then we just kind of were drawing a blank. Because I believe his name was said like three times before we said, oh, whoa, what's his name? The Doctor Who, you know. And
yeah.
So we did know who he was, but we were just drawing a blank. Now, I'll say, I know that I have seen some of these Hammer films, but I, like Jeff said, we are young. We? No, in context of Peter Cushing, we're young.
All right, whatever helps you out.
It's not just you this time. So, no, I remember seeing some of these. So, Patrick was saying that Dr. Frankenstein was one of his most popular Hammer films. And in this one, Frankenstein actually didn't have the flat top look that is the iconic Frankenstein, because Universal actually had a copyright on that design of Frankenstein. So they had to come up with a new look for him, which actually ended up being a little bit more scary than
classic Universal.
A little more scary than the classic Universal. Before getting on to record this, I gave a call to Sean Smithson, who is a horror film critic, to be all like, hey, dude, I need some background on the Hammer films because I don't know near enough about this. So this is what Sean told me. He's got a podcast that he's got the first episode out, if you want to check it out, called The Script Crypt. So so if you head over to thescriptcrypt.com, he has an episode out where they talk about Alien 3 and the unproduced screenplay by William Gibson. So it's a really cool episode. But anyway, he said that the driving factor here in the U.S., the people who were going to see all these films were mostly the nerdy guys. But over in the UK, it was schoolgirls who would like ditch school to go see these shows when they were in the theaters, which you don't necessarily think is going to be the target audience for horror films. But schoolgirls ditching school to go see these horror films. And then he pointed out that schoolgirls funded basically one of the first great waves of horror. And then over in Japan later, there was a big horror movement like the original Ring movie. That was all Japanese schoolgirls. So we think of horror as like a nerdy guys genre, but I guess internationally it's the schoolgirls who jump all over that stuff.
It's always interesting to see other cultures take on stuff.
Definitely. So I was talking to him about some other things, and Christopher Lee wanted to do Lord of the Rings and I Am Legend with Hammer Films. And I guess Hammer Films was known for having glamour Hammer girls, where they were very seductive and risque, let's just say. Because when these came out, they were definitely X-rated. And in the original I Am Legend book, the quote-unquote zombies were using sexual advances to try to get the guy out of the house. And so it probably would have been very different than the Will Smith movie.
Oh, yeah. A lot could have been different with the Will Smith movie. Anyway, I interrupted you while you were...
So I'll just finish out what Patrick had here. He said that a number of his films, meaning Peter Cushing, are available on YouTube, and I recommend Horror Expressed in particular, where he co-stars with Christopher Lee again. They offer what may be the finest evidence ever for why neither of them could be the monster. And Telly Savalas has a wonderful scene-stealing, scenery-chewing role as a Cossack captain. Also, take a look at Asylum, search Asylum 1972 to make sure you get the right one, and Dr. Terror's House of Horrors was a film that I just couldn't forget. Though Cushing's main function here is a framing device, Christopher Lee is in that one too. So to make a long story short, too late. Peter Cushing was a true treasure of cinema. He is still sorely missed, and he'll be remembered for a lot more than two appearances in the Star Wars movies, one real and one recreated. So thank you, Patrick, for sending that in. I think that's really important. This is one of the things that I think fandom right now is missing, actually, is the roots, where things came from. Because Yeah, we know a lot of the modern stuff, but if we don't remember the things that inspired that, then it's really easy to be like, oh, Doctor Who's just totally ripping off Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. Bill and Ted said they used a phone booth to travel through space and time, and so is Doctor Who, and that's completely ripping it off because that came out in 2005, right?
Yeah,
totally.
There's that meme of this. There's the speed dating meme or whatever, and the guy's talking to the girl and says, "Do you like Doctor Who? Yeah, I do. Who's your favorite? The third Doctor? Oh, I love Petrie. What? I don't know how to pronounce his name. He referencing the original Perfect. Third Doctor, and she's saying, "No, Matt Smith." Like, okay, that's it. We're done.
Yeah. No, that's
it. It actually took me a second to realize you were making a joke about Bill and Ted ripping off Doctor Who. Is like, no, Doctor Who's been out. Oh, okay.
I don't know whether that was something I can make fun of you for being slow on the uptake, or probably completely my fault. Let's just say I'm not a trained comedian.
Well, you're not? No, jeez.
I know. After 97 episodes, so I'm letting the cat out of the bag here.
Well, to be fair, I've only been here for a handful, so you know it's not.
Oh, okay, all right. You've been here for like 50 or so.
Yeah, who's counting?
Yeah. Someone on the internet, I'm sure. Someone on the internet always counts.
Someone go back and tell me how many episodes I've been on. And if you actually do that, good for you. I'll give you $1 next time I see you.
So if you go to thefandompodcast.com/category/Jeff, I believe that will show you all of his episodes.
Really? Oh, okay. Yeah. If someone actually gets back to us and you find me, I will give you $1.
There's the trick. You have to find them. Yeah. You're going to be hiding. It's the most epic game of hide and seek ever.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. If you find me at Comic-Con, that'd be your best bet. Anyway, Nick and Brandon don't count. They don't get to play.
Oh, dang it. Yeah, you didn't say anything about your sister. You didn't say anything about your sister.
Oh, she'll never hear this.
Employees of its affiliates, sponsors, and ad agencies, other radio stations in the metro area, and their immediate family members are ineligible.
Because also, another thing, in 2007, a Dutch guy bought the Hammer Films properties, and he is starting to put out new stuff, and Sean was telling me that all the new stuff, well, except for the very first one that they put out recently, Rave from the Grave, which just the title tells me don't watch that one. But all of the new things that they are putting out have been so good, and they're definitely better than Blumhouse. So that's something that I think is...
Is Blumhouse the Paranormal Activity people?
Blumhouse is like The Conjuring.
Oh, okay.
Which a lot of people are hit and miss because they have... Their latest one they're using, based on a true story about kids who were abused, and these kids are now like 50 years old, and they're making hundreds of millions of dollars off of their story without really giving them anything for that. It reminds me of the Jeff Goldblum line from Jurassic Park. Your scientists were so preoccupied whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
But yeah, that's kind of messed up. Why would you at least like give them a cut? I mean, geez.
It'll be really interesting to see how this all plays out, but you know, horror films, they're kind of coming back. Universal was trying to reboot their horror film franchise kind of in a shared MCU style universe. Haven't been too successful at it, but
what have they tried so far? Are they counting the Brendan Fraser mummies, or is that something else? Or are they
new mummy? No, they did like a Frankenstein one with Daniel Radcliffe, I want to say.
Victor Frankenstein.
But I've heard that they ditched that one because it didn't do so well. So they're planning on starting it with the 2017 Mummy. So that's when they're planning on doing it. Then they've got two untitled films, and then they're doing The Invisible Man. Then they're going to do The Wolfman. Then they're going to do Van Helsing. Then they're going to do Creature from the Black Lagoon. And then Bride of Frankenstein.
They need to do all these movies, establish that they're in the same universe, and then do Van Helsing, and it kills them all, and then they can start over. Perfect. Universal, I'll be expecting the check in the mail.
But you know, when I was a kid and I would write stories, I'd always end my stories with everybody dying because it wraps up all the loose ends. Okay, so that's the Random Fandom, is the Hammer films, Peter Cushing, his great roles that he did. You gotta go back and you gotta give credit where credit's due, because these guys invented an industry, basically. Yeah, it's Star Wars. I've never thought of Tarkin as like a main character. And on his IMDb and Wikipedia page, it says Peter Cushing is best known for his role as Tarkin in Star Wars. I'm like, well, maybe, but that was that, that was one role.
What the biggest movie was, and he happened to also be in it. So it's, but it's still.
But he's got such a big body of work outside of that.
It's interesting. He does not get credited for Rogue One on IMDb. According to IMDb, his last movie was in 86. So I wonder how that falls into things. I'm curious.
Legalities. All right, let's jump into the geek news. So last week, our timing on our episode sucked. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, a little bit.
So we recorded, and I mentioned this on the podcast, but as a little pre-roll thing, because I wasn't exactly sure what to do. But we recorded, and Carrie Fisher was reportedly in stable condition, and we were all hoping that she would get better. And apparently on Tuesday, December 27th, the legendary actress Carrie Fisher, who was 60, was found dead, drowned in silver moonlight, and strangled by her own brassiere. Well, that's what Carrie Fisher wanted her obituary to say, but
I want to be able to write my own obituary just to screw with people. Like, he was one day away from retirement or something like that.
So I guess that story comes from her autobiography that she was actually out promoting when she had her heart attack. But she told a story about how George Lucas saw her wearing a bra underneath her dress, the white dress, I guess it was. And George Lucas was like, no. They don't wear underwear in space. You are going to have to take that off.
Okay, George Lucas, how many times have you been in space?
Right? It's like, did he go there? Which, so in George Lucas's defense, what he explained to her later, like many years later, because to me that kind of just sounds like he's being a bit of a creepy director telling Carrie Fisher not to wear underwear. Yeah,
we don't know what else was going on that day with him. He could have been having a rough day.
Yeah, but what? So it turns out what his logic was behind that was, when you're in space and there's zero G, your flesh expands, but your underwear doesn't. And so your brassiere would suffocate you.
Oh.
Which makes a lot of sense until you think about the space scenes they had on Star Wars. Because there's always gravity on the ships.
There's always an atmosphere around them.
Always an atmosphere and always gravity. But after that happened, Carrie Fisher, like, this is what I want my obituary to say. She definitely was an actress who, her life and her talents burned brightly and burned out quick.
She always seemed like someone not afraid to speak her mind, like, doesn't care what the media thinks about it. It's just like, this is my opinion.
Yes.
And I'm going to say it.
She was an advocate for mental health awareness, because she said, I'm mentally ill. I'm not ashamed to say it, because I'm sick, and that's just all there is to it. Like, she was a big advocate for that. She didn't care what people thought about that. When they recast her in Star Wars, they're like, yeah, do you think you can lose about 25 pounds? And she was like, nope, if you're going to cast me, you're going to cast all of me.
I want to be in that meeting. Like, okay, draw straws to who has to go tell Carrie Fisher to lose weight. Like, no, like, you don't.
No, absolutely not.
It's like, you're lucky if we're lucky if she says yes at all, let alone tell her to modify it.
Part of me wonders if it was a prank. Like, they were like, hey, you're the intern. You have to go ask her this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, any idiot would know what her response was.
She goes, text my friend, hey, we're going to sending an intern to screw with him for a second.
Play along. Yeah. Yeah. No, here's the sad news that we didn't get a chance to talk about last week, was that a day after Carrie Fisher passed away on December 28th, Debbie Reynolds, her mother, who Nick absolutely adores because she was the lead actress in Singing in the Rain and The Unsinkable Molly Brown, she passed away. She had a stroke. They were sitting and talking about funeral arrangements, and what she said was, her last words were, "I want to be with Carrie." And she had a stroke and she passed away the very next day. So throughout this week, I've done a lot of thinking, like, yes, they're celebrities, but boy, my heart goes out to that family, because this isn't something that I think anybody would want to deal with. Like
anytime you hear a celebrity dies, you're like, oh, that's terrible. But then when you hear, oh, mother and daughter die within 2 days of each other, you just think that's this whole situation just sucks.
Yeah, it's sad for all of us. I really liked a tweet that I've seen going around saying, thinking about how we mourn artists we've never met. We don't cry because we knew them. We cry because they helped us know ourselves. I imagine that there are a lot of people know themselves better because of Princess Leia. I imagine that the Singing in the Rain and the Unsinkable Molly Brown and all the other shows that Debbie Reynolds did, because she did a ton of them, I imagine that there are people in that generation that know themselves better because of that. And this family gave a lot to us. I mean, yes, they got a lot in return, but they gave a lot to us. Yeah, so
still, I mean, even if Nick were here, he could probably tell the entire story of Singing in the Rain. He could probably give you word for word. If I don't know why anyone would, but if you ever get a chance to see Nick's studio, he has this movie poster hanging up, and it's literally,
you walk in the door and you see it.
Yeah, you see it. And as long as I've known Nick, he's had this poster. So obviously he's had it for longer, but I mean, it's Singing in the Rain is very important to him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really sad day for the Fisher and Reynolds family. Gary Fisher, her dog, who was always with her, is going to be taken care of by her daughter. So he'll still be taken care of.
Seen so many of my friends who got photo ops with her just posting them saying this is terrible. And it's like, just one of those things like, oh, that's right, she took the time to come to Salt Lake for, and she didn't even come for all 3 days. She had a day for us. Like, she chose Salt Lake City and to come. And it was, yeah.
And they were able to get the studio into letting her do a panel, because they weren't going to do a Carrie Fisher panel because of some studio requirements. And they talked him into, and last minute they were able to get a panel going. And
I missed it because I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it was unscheduled. It was like, quick, let's shift everything around. Cause when Carrie Fisher says that she can do a panel, you shift everything around so that Carrie Fisher can do a panel.
Some stuff I've also heard about this is that she did finish all her filming for episode 8. And does it make me a bad person to, one of my thoughts when this happened was, I wonder how they're going to take Star Wars. Like, I wasn't like, oh, now I can never get her autograph or something like this. I had my chance and I chose to not. But a part of me was thinking, I wonder how they'll fit this into Star Wars. And then a couple days later, it was announced she had already finished. And it's just, yeah, it's just one of those curiosities I had.
They're probably going to have to rewrite quite a bit of episode 9. And I actually read an article saying that Lucasfilm had a risk insurance policy on her life. It's from somewhere in London, and so it's in pounds, and I want to say it was like 41 point something million pounds insurance policy on her. So I mean, they're gonna make some money off of it, but there's probably gonna be quite a bit of work to figure out what exactly to do.
I'm assuming is that at some point in 8 or in 9, the ship she is on will get attacked, and instead of her surviving, she won't make it. If they just do some sort of, we just got the message, or General Leia was killed. Like that, I don't think that'd do her justice. She needs like a,
like they need to do a scene with like a funeral for her.
Yeah. They need some sort of scene.
Yeah.
Or like how Han's was so, spoiler alert, like Han Solo's death was so sudden and heartbreaking. She needs something similar. She was more important than that than anything else. She's her character's the reason all of it happened. You know, had Luke not seen her hologram.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. Yeah. So let's move on from that to some of the, I don't know if it's happier news, but it's more lighthearted news. Because this is kind of heavy, and I know that there are a lot of geeks that it's weighing heavy on. So we're going to move on from this, and hopefully people are starting to get through their grief on this. I don't blame anyone for being sad. All right, so the more lighthearted news is that Ghost Rider, the reason why they closed off his story arc on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was not creatively driven. It wasn't that they're like, oh, well, this is a good place to end his story. It was because they could no longer afford to do the CGI for the Ghost Rider Flaming Skull.
And that's a shame, because it looks so cool.
They did a really good job on it. That was one thing that shocked me. I was like, wow, they actually did a good job on this.
Yeah. And that first time when Sky says, or Daisy, I guess her name is now, man, names are dumb. she says, you don't get to decide who lives and dies. And she's like, I'm not the one who decides. And his eyes light up and his face burns away. It's just like, okay, I'm in. Yeah. One thing that's interesting is they could have kept Robbie. Like, they could have come up with some reason to take away his powers. But they kind of imply that Robbie Reyes is gone too.
Well, so Jed Whedon, who is the showrunner for this, yeah, brother of Miss Joss Whedon.
Josh Whedon? Who's Josh Whedon?
He's just some guy. I think you're right. J-O-S-S has to be a typo. It's got to be Josh. Yeah. So
we know who he is. We're screwing around.
So anyway, what Jed Whedon said was that he's trapped in another place, which usually means he's not dead. Because what Gabriel Luna has been saying is that, you know, he might be able to cross over with other Marvel heroes. I mean, imagine him on Netflix. Oh, imagine him having an entire series on Netflix.
Okay.
That could be cool.
One thing, before he was announced on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there was a rumor that him and a couple other people were all getting their own Netflix series, and then it was announced for S.H.I.E.L.D. So who knows? Like, for all we know, he could, for whatever the reason, whatever the hand is doing in Daredevil could somehow resurrect him. Who knows? I mean, yeah. This very season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has made him go to this another dimension and come back. So they've written themselves into look, he can come back. He won't until we get picked up again.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. I don't think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to last much longer. It is. It's in season 4 right now.
I don't think it's going anywhere. Especially, like, had they just killed off Ghost Rider or made Ghost Rider disappear and been done with it, maybe. But the way the cliffhanger for the episode, it made me kind of, my jaw drop. Just, what? But I don't want to spoil anything past what we've already done, but it was, let me just say, LMDs are going to be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. People have been speculating LMDs since the beginning of the show, though, with Coulson.
Yeah. I think they've justified Coulson's coming back to life. You know, the whole Tahiti project and whatnot, I get, but
right.
If he is an LMD, why does he have a robot? Why'd they make such a big deal of his robotic arm instead of just, like, you know, replacing it? I don't know. There's a lot.
You know,
I was one of those people who was against Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of like, no, Coulson, you can't just bring Coulson back. I mean, he's that was the reason that, like, he died for a reason. He had a good death, but no, I guess he's alive.
So I partially wonder if they are going to do a half season and not be picked up again after their half season on season 5. Because they, at the end of season 4, they're going to be sitting at 88 episodes. And the magic number for syndication to be played on, like, FX and all those other stations is 100. So I wonder if they're only going to do another half season and be like, this show didn't work. We want to be able to make some money off of it in the future.
I don't know. I have hopes for it. My biggest concern is how now this show is going to affect the cinematic universe. Because the organization S.H.I.E.L.D. had a big death in Winter Soldier. Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. collapsed. And in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they brought it back. They publicly announced S.H.I.E.L.D. is a thing again. So I'm wondering, is Captain America going to be like, hey, I just cleaned up that mess. What am I supposed to be doing? So I don't know. But that was a long-winded explanation for saying, yeah, Ghost Rider is way too expensive for them to be doing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay. All right. Next news story is that we have a movie sequel in the works, and this one has been waiting for quite a while. Spaceballs, the sequel. Looks like it's going to be coming out in mid-2019. Sony's working on it with Mel Brooks, and they've got some people officially cast, it looks like. A lot of the cast have passed away.
Joan Rivers, John Candy. You know, a lot of the cast can't come back. And part of me hopes they do a joke about...
Oh, the CGI.
Now that I'm thinking about it, a part of me hopes that there's some just random computer-generated dog man. What was he? Barf?
What
was his species?
All right. Anyway. Well, let me tell you the five people who've been cast. You've got Bill Pullman for Lone Star.
I love Bill Pullman in Twister. That's a Bill Paxton joke.
Yes, it is. Daffy Zuniga as Princess Vespa. So, I mean, those are original casting. The recast for Barf, because John Candy's passed away, is Jack Black. We're going to have Jack Black be Barf.
I can see that.
And Lisa Lampanelli is going to do the voice of Dot Matrix, who is the robot.
Yeah.
And then somehow they were able to get Mel Brooks to come back.
Mel Brooks will come back for all of it.
Yeah.
Well, is he going to direct it too?
Yes, he's directing it too. I mean, this is his show.
Well, I mean, sometimes. I mean, look at George Lucas. I mean, space movies don't always get directed by their creators.
Yeah, but this one is a very Mel Brooks-centric. Comedy is very Mel Brooks, Ian.
Is he going to be yogurt, or is he just...
Yes, he's going to do it all. Multiple roles is what it says.
That's right, because he was both yogurt and the...
President.
President, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no...
Apparently, it's been a while since I've seen this movie.
So, Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money... is going to come out in mid-2019. The reason they chose mid-2019, that's when episode 9 is supposed to wrap up. So,
you know, depending on how episode 8 goes, I might see Spaceballs before Star Wars. Just
what?
Saying.
What?
No.
What? What?
I'm saying if one series, here's what I'm going to say. If Rey is Luke Skywalker's daughter, I'm seeing Spaceballs before episode 9.
What? What if they do it well? What if they do it well?
I don't know. No, I'm just going to say, even if they do it well, that's just my blanket statement right now.
I'm starting to see a pattern with you, Jeff.
They don't seem to like the popular stuff.
Well, that too. You're a fandom hipster for sure.
Hey, I don't mean to brag, but I read Hunger Games before it was cool.
Oh, man.
Which is a true statement, but...
Hey, me too. I read it before the third book came out, even.
I read it before I knew there was a sequel.
Man, you are so cool.
Hey, check out this. We want you to listen to this book. Okay. And I listened to it okay. Anyway.
Why did the hipster burn his tongue? Because he drank his coffee before it was cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
How many hipsters does it take to change a light bulb? Some obscure number. You've probably never heard of it.
I don't even remember. Oh, okay. So here's the pattern. Don't distract me, Jeff. Don't distract me.
I have to. You're going to insult me.
Here's the pattern that I'm seeing. With Doctor Who, you were like, my whole love of the Doctor Who fandom completely is riding on this one episode. And if it's terrible, I'm never going to watch Doctor Who again. And now you're saying that if Rey is Luke's daughter...
Well, I'm not... Oh, the difference is, I'm still going to see episode 9. I'm just saying, if that's how it goes, I might be giving my money to Mel Brooks before I do Disney, because I don't know who's directing episode 9.
Well, Disney's going to miss you, because they only had 5 out of the top 10 top grossing movies of this year. Mm-hmm. Number 1 was Finding Dory. Number 2 was Rogue One. And number 3 was... Captain America Civil War. So Disney's really going to miss your ticket money.
Yeah, pretty sure Doctor Strange is on that list too.
Doctor Strange is number 11. So. Oh,
darn. And they're going to get my money. It's just Mel Brooks is going to get it first.
All right. So speaking of ways in which Disney is going to get your money.
I fell down a rabbit hole the other day of Star Wars theories, and man, we could do a whole episode on that.
Obscure Star Wars theories? Write it down. I think. So all right.
I'll write it down in the air right here. All right.
Look at how the sausage is made, people. All right. So Disney, they're going to be getting your money from throwing Doctor Strange as a large role in Thor Ragnarok. Not just some cameo like we thought, but Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be there for a pretty significant chunk in Thor Ragnarok, which makes sense if you stayed after the credits on Doctor Strange. Because
and if you didn't, shame on you. It's a Marvel movie.
Really?
I mean, if you missed the Mortal one, fine. I mean, it was a long credits, but I mean, the Thor one was right there.
It was really funny. After the Thor one, there was this guy in the theater that I was in. He was running down the aisle, and we're all looking at him like, what are you doing? And like as he's running down, he's like, I just have to go to the bathroom. I will be back before the next one.
Oh, okay.
He announced it basically to the entire theater full of strangers.
Don't worry. I just have to go to the bathroom. No worries.
I promise I'm not an idiot. I just really had a big drink.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, that one, I'm excited for it. Despite it being a Thor movie. The Thor movies are my least favorite Marvel movies.
I was listening to another podcast and they were saying like, oh, you know, when Thor did this and this and this, and they're like, what are you talking about? That was the other Thor movie. Like Thor is the most forgettable of these characters.
Yes.
But as soon as Thor was described as a buddy cop movie with Thor and Hulk, I was like,
if Marvel does their thing where they're able to expand a genre by incorporating another genre, I'm down for that. I think that could be good. So we'll see. We will see. All right.
You know, the sling ring in Doctor Strange is just a faster portal than Heimdall's. So, you know, there you go.
Heimdall's gone missing. We have to find
justification.
Him.
I thought it was Odin gone missing. Well, has Odin been Heimdall this whole time?
Wow.
That would make these movies so much more confusing. There's already a whole bunch more stupid names I have to remember. Now all of a sudden two of them are the same.
All right. Last bit of news. And this is one that I feel like I might have to turn in my geek card a little bit. Sherlock Season 4, Episode 1 has aired New Year's Day, and I haven't seen it yet. Jeff, you've seen it, right?
Yeah, I watched it, and there's without spoiling, there is just one big thing, big problem I have with it.
Well, you've got a big problem with everything, though.
It's more of like there's a story that gets him to the main story, and that's that connection is just like, really? You couldn't have, like, it's a coincidence, essentially.
But was it entertaining?
It was entertaining. Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch did his "I'm better than you," and Martin Freeman was the "we get it, you're better than us." You know, it was entertaining.
So, should I go out and rush to watch this right away, or is this something that I can wait for a little bit on?
I say, well, here's the thing: like after this season of 3 episode airs, it's going to be about 10 years before season 5 airs, if there's going to be a season 5. And so, it's one of those: if you want Sherlock in your life, you better watch it.
Drag it out over the course of those next 10 years.
Yeah. There'll be 10 episodes, one a year. You know, we've got, yeah.
Yeah. That's what Moffat does. Every year he drops one episode. Am I going to be glad that the Doctor Who episode was more of a meh? Or not glad, but am I going to be accept it? Am I going to be like, okay, this was a good episode of Sherlock?
Yeah, there's definitely some writing in there that I didn't. There's definitely stuff I didn't see coming. There's one big, but wait a minute moment. So it's like, yeah, it's worth watching. Definitely watch it. If you're a fan of Sherlock, watch it. I mean,
all right. I definitely think I am.
Long-winded way of saying, yeah, watch it. It's streaming on PBS. So watch it.
Yeah. So in case you're wondering, it is streaming free on PBS. I've got a link in the show notes just on the PBS website. However, it will expire. So the Masterpiece Theater streaming stuff with PBS expires on January 15th. So if you want to watch this free on PBS and you haven't recorded it and you don't want to buy it anywhere, stream it by January 15th. All right.
Is January 15th coincidentally the day the next episode airs? Or
the next episode of Sherlock airs on January 8th, the next Sunday. This Sunday, we've got The Lying Detective, Sunday, January 8th, 2017 at 9/8 Central on your local PBS station.
So yeah, you can watch it. Just watch it.
Just watch it. Sunday night, Sherlock night for 3 weeks. You can do that.
Yeah. We watched it with my parents who haven't seen the quote unquote Christmas special.
The Abominable Bride.
Again. Yeah. And I told him, all right, here's what you missed. Do you remember how Moriarty killed himself? Yeah, he's definitely dead. All right, now you're caught up. That's the only thing important that happens in that episode.
Yes. Yes, it is. But they do it, but they bring it to you in such an entertaining way.
But they just take so long to tell you. Anyway, I had mixed feelings about that episode.
I saw a meme online that said, hide your kids, hide your wife, batten down the hatches, get out the salt, sonic your locks. The Sherlock fandom has awoken. it's a rabid bunch of fans.
It's amazing how popular this show has aired when there's been three seasons of 3 episodes and then the Christmas special. Now this, there's only been a total of 11 episodes. How is it so popular?
Yeah, it hasn't even been a full season yet, right?
By their terms, this is the fourth, but it's still just like, how is this thing that has only a dozen or so episodes? It's amazing to me. Like when I first went to watch Sherlock on Netflix and I saw, oh, there's only 6 episodes. That doesn't seem right. What is it? I mean, this is that show everyone's watching. But okay. And each episode's a movie. Like, okay. I guess that explains it. But
each episode's really kind of like 3 episodes. So you get 9 episodes, which is almost the 10 that you get with HBO shows like Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Well, still. Yeah. It's amazing that there's so little content number wise. I mean, it's a huge show, but yeah, it's a good show. You should watch it.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up our news. At this point, probably. I think we're good to jump into predictions and prospects. Jeff and I, we sat down and we thought about some things that we think are going to happen in 2017, some things that we think we're going to be excited about in 2017. So we're just going to bounce back and forth as we talk about them. Jeff, how about you share your first one with us?
All right. I guess I'll go prospects. We're getting 4 Marvel movies next year, 3 of which in the cinematic universe, but still. Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man, and Thor are all coming out. Plus Logan, also Marvel, but not cinematic. But still, it's like, we're getting a little greedy. And hopefully one of those is good. One of the 4 is good. I think we won. But no, it's...
What if 2 of them are good? What about... Yeah, okay.
Okay, so Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be great because the original cast plus James Gunn coming back. That's going to be probably shouldn't raise my expectations, but it's going to be great. Logan is going to be good just for the fact that they're, by making it rated R, they have kind of free range with the character. Spider-Man has me worried because there hasn't been a good Spider-Man movie ever. No, but there's a cracked video that says it opens with Spider-Man 2 is the best movie with Spider-Man in it ever released, and I will fight you on this. It's like, yeah, kind of is.
I went and saw the movie Sing today, and one of the trailers was for the Lego Batman movie, and he was getting all angsty, and Alfred walks out and he's like, sir, are you looking at the family photos and getting reminiscent again and remembering what happened? And he's like, no, I'm not. And he's like, sir, I've seen you do this before. Once in 2016, once in 2012, once in 1997. And he starts listing off every time that they did a Batman reboot.
I'm glad they're self-aware. I'm more excited for the Lego Batman movie than I am the Batman, you know? Lego movies have been less disappointing than the DC movies. I'm just going to say.
And there's only been one of them.
There's only been the one, and they got it right. Oh, but yeah, I'm excited. I love movies. Like, that's so.
I think Guardians of the Galaxy is going to do amazing. I think Guardians of the Galaxy is going to bring in record-setting amounts of money. I don't think it's going to beat Titanic or Avatar, but I think it's going to be sitting right behind those ones because it's got so much hype behind it. And this is one of the movies that the non-Marvel movie fans absolutely loved. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've heard so many people say Guardians is the top of their list. And even if it is bad, it's going to have the best opening weekend of any movie ever because everyone's excited for it. And if it turns out being bad, it's just going to drop off. But still, like, I'm going to see it opening day-ish, knock on wood. There's a whole bunch of movies I think, yeah, I'll see this opening day 2 weeks later. Oh, I still haven't seen that.
Yeah, I'm gonna work my Comic-Con magic again and see if I can't get into something. It was really fun going to a theater full of nerds on something like that. It's a lot of fun.
I'm excited for Marvel. That wasn't a prediction. That was just...
Well, then, you know what? You did a movie prospect, so how about I do a movie prediction? I think, and this is going to go right along with Marvel, I think that Fox and Marvel are going to announce a collaborative movie project depending on how well Spider-Man does. If Marvel and Sony are able to just knock Spider-Man out of the park, I think that Fox and Marvel are going to be like, hey, let's work together on something. And they're going to announce. Obviously, they're not going to deliver it because these things take years to make. But they're going to announce, hey, we've got some really cool stuff coming up. So if Marvel was going to bring one of the Fox properties into their MCU, which one would you be most excited, or which one would you want the most? Because they've got all the mutant stuff. So you could do X-Men or X-Factor. X-Factor.
Mm. You could X-Factor.
Do X-Factorial, the math version of it.
A part of me wants to say Deadpool, but I don't think he'd fit in any universe outside his own.
I think Deadpool's the perfect one to move into any universe. Because Deadpool...
I want to see Deadpool... say something super crude, and then Captain America just go, language! What's your problem?
There's an artist that I follow on Facebook called Lord Mesa, and after the Deadpool movie, he's got a picture of... He drew a picture of Tony Stark ushering out Captain America holding a bag of popcorn, and Tony Stark was saying, that language was a little much even for me, to Deadpool.
And isn't Captain America just going so much
language. So much language.
I think, back to the question that started this whole thing, I think bringing in Fantastic Four would do the best for the property.
Oh, definitely.
Because X-Men, what Fox is doing with X-Men is, their movies are fine. After Apocalypse, I would say good, but that after Apocalypse, they're just fine. Apocalypse wasn't that great, but Fantastic Four has been just burning and burning and burning. And it's like the first one with Chris Evans was all right. I say Chris Evans because I can't remember anyone else's name. And then Silver Surfer was bad. And then the reboot with the Fantastic Four babies was just worse. Fan Four Stick. That, yes, thank you. That's the correct title. Yeah, I think if they wanted to revitalize a character, giving Marvel control the Fantastic Four. Also, if you do anything X-Men related, you'd have to tiptoe around that whole Scarlet Witch is Magneto's daughter thing.
Or they can just I want to say that's been retconned.
They have done it by saying, oh no, they got their powers through Loki's staff and experiment and blah blah blah.
No, I'm not talking the MCU. I'm talking in the comics. They retconned that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Because
comics have just flat out denied Fantastic Four even existing anymore.
That's true. Johnny Storm's playing with the Inhumans right now because they're like, we like this character still, but we're not doing the books.
Yeah. No, that's too bad too.
I like that. I was thinking that, well, it makes sense that Marvel is going to be rebooting the X-Men universe, or not Marvel, that Fox is going to be rebooting the X-Men universe from what we've heard, and Marvel could be like, hey, let's work together as long as you're rebooting. But I think that Fantastic Four would be awesome.
They call over the CEO of Fox. Hey, come into this room. See all that money? See, that's what we made by Fox. That's what we collaborated with Sony. That's just our half of that.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's going to be. It's like, hey, look, we made a ton of money. We both won, and the fans loved it. So why don't we do it again? Why don't we do it? No, the fans loved it. We loved Civil War, and so we're going to assume that everything else is peachy keen and wonderful because 2017 is going to be much better.
2017 is going to be amazing. Everyone's going to live. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be just kittens and rainbows from now on.
All right. So I hope it's Fantastic Four after that conversation, but I think that they're going to announce, and my predictions here is going to be, I'm trying to be pretty specific because I want to be able to come back to these in a year and be like, yes or no. So they're going to announce a collaborative movie project. I'm hoping that that's going to happen this year. Okay. How about you? What prospect or prediction do you have for us?
So I literally just thought about this. I don't know. This might count as a prediction. It's definitely not a prospect because I don't know if it's going to happen. The next Doctor will be either a woman or will regenerate without any, hey, guess what? Here's the new Doctor. That will just be a complete surprise. Bam, new Doctor.
So kind of like what you experienced with going from David Tennant to Matt Smith without seeing the Christmas special.
Well, no, I don't mean like that. I mean more of like when you're watching it for the first time, you have no idea what anything it is. When Eccleston turns into David Tennant, where you don't know what regeneration is, you don't know what all this is. And all of a sudden, oh, there's a new person doing it. I wouldn't wish that. I wouldn't wish the David Tennant, Matt Smith relation on anybody.
Explain that. Explain that better to me.
You remember when Matt Smith, it was regenerating. It was all over the news. Matt Smith's leaning.
Yes.
Capaldi's in.
So BBC is not going to announce things like that?
Yeah, it's just there. We'll just watch. We'll get to whatever episode, and Capaldi will die, and new person will come in.
Okay, so regeneration without any press releases, then.
That sounds much better. BBC ignores it. BBC doesn't mention it. Not Doctor Who doesn't mention it. No.
Okay, I like that. We talked about that last week.
I was talking to Amy, and I was joking like, what I think would be really funny in Doctor Who is if he's running down the hall, whoever the current Doctor is, and he gets shot and regenerates. And he's looking into a mirror and he's finally a ginger or something. He's finally like, oh, I'm finally a ginger. And he gets shot again and regenerates into something else. And just like, oh, come on.
Oh, that would be the Doctor's luck. I don't think they're going to waste a regeneration. Well, I don't know. He basically got unlimited regenerations now. Who knows?
Yeah. If he knows where Gallifrey is. Yeah. Moffat's only in charge for a little bit.
Okay. I like that one. I like that. You know what would blow people's minds and make fanboys go crazy? If the next Doctor was a woman and there was no press releases. Can you imagine the angry fanboy crowd on that one? The Doctor's a man. Now I can't be the Doctor.
And then there's the happy fangirl side of it. Like, I can finally be the Doctor and not have to be some justified gender swap, you know?
Do you think they would lose? Do you think if they cast a female Doctor, do you think that they are going to lose any women who watch it because Matt Smith is pretty or David Tennant's pretty?
That's kind of, they just, you know, have what? To.
I think they got rid of that fan base with Capaldi, right? Capaldi is not a young, dashing Doctor who the girls are swooning over. And so, I mean, I'm sure there's some girls who think he's attractive, who are attracted to eyebrows, but yeah, it's the Scottish accent.
I think the safest way to handle it would be a female Doctor would be a very handsome companion. Like that. That's the easiest way to get around it. Just like
Jack Harkness comes back.
Ooh, I'm in. Surprise, Jack Harkness is the Doctor.
The face of Bo regenerates into the Doctor. What?
Like as soon as the TARDIS leaves, because we see the face of Bo die, as soon as the TARDIS leaves or whatever, he just regenerates into something else. He's like, no, Doctor, I'm still alive. Come back.
Come back.
Oh, man, that face of Bo thing, That was amazing.
That was such a good tie-in. That was such a good, like, oh, yeah, they called me the face of boat.
What?
Okay. All right. So my TV prediction then, the CW will cancel one of the DCW-verse shows this year. One of them hit the axe. Well, here's the thing. You could cancel Arrow. Arrow's in syndication. They've got enough show episodes in there. It's not been doing super well with the fans. But Legends of Tomorrow...
Legends of Tomorrow is giving me enough that I'm just like, oh, that's interesting. Like, speaking of John Barrowman, he's recently been a part of it.
Yes, he has. But Legends of Tomorrow, the show has not really been that interesting.
The problems are outweighing the good, but they're still just like when Eobard Thawne showed up, I was like, okay, I'm in.
If you like the wibbly wobbliness of Doctor Who, then you're going to like Legends of Tomorrow. If you like that wibbly wobbly stuff, Legends of Tomorrow is great, and you get superheroes in it too. But there are enough people that are like, this show is stupid, and like the CGI, oh boy, when Steel didn't have a costume, and they had to CGI his entire body.
Steel's costume's dumb.
Yeah, so many things on that show are dumb.
I mean, the whole reason Steel has powers is so they could fit a Superman joke in. I'm just, you know... Because Brandon Roth said, it was going to give me super strength and make my skin as hard as steel.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Whatever you say there.
But no, I think they're going to cancel one of them. Do you think it's going to be Arrow, or do you think it's going to be, be Legends?
I don't know. I would rather Arrow, honestly. I mean, I'm probably one of the last people still watching it, and I do, or I guess it's not on anymore currently, but excuse me. Anyway, I don't know. That's like choosing which of your kids who are both terrible, but you know, or it's like, all right, both your kids are acting terrible and you have to punish one of them. One hasn't really got the chance to prove himself, but the other's had a lot of chances and he keeps screwing up. I don't know. I think the safer bet would be Arrow, just because it's got syndication. They can keep airing it.
They can keep making money off of it, and yeah.
They could easily move like Stephen Amell to another show. Put him in charge of the Legends.
Yeah.
Did you see the 4-episode crossover?
I did with the Dominators.
Yeah, I wasn't. I actually said during the Arrow episode, oh, come on, Arrow. Don't be the one that screws this up for us. Because the whole episode was like a weird flashback. It was like, Arrow, come on. We're in the middle of something really good here. Don't screw this up. They kept finding reasons for people not to be there anyway.
Yeah.
Every episode, there was a justification of, hey, where's so-and-so? Oh, they're on the ship. We don't let the newbies do this kind of stuff. Oh, okay. And on that, I honestly thought they were going to kill Cisco. So Supergirl had to stay in the proper universe. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Oh, that would have been interesting, but then that really would have messed up Supergirl. Would have messed up that show.
Yeah, but then the whole, here's the device that lets us teleport. Oh, wait, no, that does make a lot more sense than killing off one of your favorite characters.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be Supergirl. Maybe not.
Supergirl is their strongest one right now. It's been getting better ratings than The Flash.
Oh, really? Oh, not for me. That one I've been meaning to catch up on. I haven't watched it since the crossover. So yeah, that's surprising. I don't know why. Anyway, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Arrow or Legends gets canceled.
So I think that Legends is going to be canceled, but here's why I think that Legends is going to be canceled. Geoff Johns came out and said that they are going to be doing another comic book show on the CW. And so Geoff Johns is basically the VP of media. No, yeah. I don't think so.
What would be the fifth? What would it be? That's fascinating.
So it's got to be another team book, because here's what Legends of Tomorrow is really good at. It's really good at bringing in lots of obscure characters so that you can see the teams, so that you can bring. It's an easy way to bring people into the universe.
Right.
So, and because they can do time travel, not too much of what they do actually sticks.
And what was great about Legends when it first came out was like, they introduced all these characters in Flash and Arrow. It's like, well, where are these guys now? It's the age-old question of where was Iron Man during Winter Soldier? You know, it's all that stuff. Like, it's, pardon me, where are these people now? What are they doing? Right. And they're like, oh, they're traveling through time. That's what they're doing. Like, oh, I buy it. I'm in. But now it's kind of getting confusing.
Kind of getting repetitive, too. Some of the storylines are Very similar.
Freaking Arthur Darvill's character all of a sudden being a director. Legends is getting the axe.
Yeah.
But Arrow better shape up to
it. Arrow makes sense. Arrow makes sense to cancel it because they're already at syndication numbers.
Yeah.
But
at the same time, I'm just like, but I really like those people. Maybe they cancel Arrow and turn the show into the team he's building. Because right now he's got Wild Dog and Artemis and all these people. Mr. Terrific.
What about doing Young Justice? Live action. Ooh, Young Justice.
Live action Young Justice. Well, my only problem with that would be is that it would interfere with actual Young Justice, which I want more than these shows.
Okay. All right. Well,
what if that's the CW show? What if they can't? What if that's the new show Jeff Johns is talking about?
They may or may not cancel it, but a cartoon cartoon on it?
What if the next season of Young Justice, instead of airing on Cartoon Network or Netflix or something, is just going to be on CW?
I think that would be very jarring for a lot of CW viewers, but I think that could be
cool. Absolutely. It would technically be a terrible decision, but...
they're trying to shift their demographics a little bit, because this whole CW, DCW stuff has been making me think that they are trying to shift demographics, because as you watch where they've come from to where they are now, the demographics on Legends of Tomorrow are very different than the demographics on Arrow.
The first season of Arrow involved him having a hit list. I mean, like, that's not the best show for your family. But Supergirl, part of her problem is her boss doesn't like her in the first season. You know, it's like, oh, darn, I'm just trying to fit.
The reason why you do that with Supergirl is because Supergirl basically can't get hurt by anything. Yes, they've written some crazy things in. So where you bring the drama in is not in the fighting. It's in the personal relationships.
Yeah. That's like why Lex Luthor makes such a good, or Lena Luthor. Oh, jeez, Lena Luthor. That was one more. I just went, really?
She's a real character. She was in comics.
I know, but still, Lena and Lex, the children of Lionel. You know, and I didn't know about Lena Luthor until you literally just said she was a real character. But it was
she was a real minor character, but she was a real character.
It's just too many LLs. Yeah. But you know, I just thought, like, just bring Lex. Like, no, I mean, all for women characters, but just make it Lex.
But no, because he doesn't argue with Supergirl. He argues with Superman.
Yeah, but
he's in prison. Then right
he
now.
Could, then he can anyway. Have a whole bunch of lines saying like, "Oh, it's so much easier with your cousin, or your cousin does this, and whatnot."
Yeah,
maybe the new show Jeff John says is Superman.
That could be really cool, because Tyler Hoechlin as Superman. Maybe they were feeling out how people felt about that.
Yeah, and I didn't see the premiere with him, but I saw the second one, and I was still like, yeah, I'm in.
He's
not brooding.
Okay, so what if they are trying to... So with the Flash, you can move between universes.
Right.
So he is going to... So it doesn't matter what universe he's in. He could still interact with Supergirl and Superman. You cancel Arrow, and you have Legends of Tomorrow, which with all the sci-fi, not real sci-fi, like, fine, let's make something happen... They could move over to the universe. So maybe rather than moving Supergirl to the existing universe, maybe they sunset and retire their shows that are in the existing universe, and anyone they want to keep, like The Flash, they move over to the new universe.
Hmm.
This is phase two. This is DCW phase two.
No. I was trying to... What's Supergirl City? All of a sudden, I can't think of it.
National City?
That's it. I keep wanting to say Central, but that's not right. So you move her into the Central City, or the National City. So you're saying Flash, Arrow, Legends get their stories ended and they have to go help Supergirl? Hmm. I don't know. Part of me feels like a world with Superman and Supergirl would be enough for one planet, along with Martian Manhunter and all that, you know.
This is how you could fix some of these problems that we're seeing. You bring Barry over to National City, you cancel the other shows, you have Barry go find Oliver Queen and be like, no, I know who you are, and get him to be the Green Arrow, and then all of a sudden he doesn't have to be the dark and broody arrow. He can be the fun social justice warrior Green Arrow that he is. I mean, that could be a cool way to do that. Maybe the Supergirl universe is DCW phase two. Wow. Maybe. We spent a lot of time speculating on that one based off of this theory that I that I pulled out of thin air.
Because we got a string and we just kept pulling and pulling and
we
pulling.
We did. This is how good fan theories start right here.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have for us next, Jeff?
A prediction that I hope, I'm so hoping comes true, that the DC movie universe stops being bad. Like, stops being the punchline. Like, they did, they find their footing. They just need to understand they need to stop trying to catch, they don't need to catch up to Marvel. They just need to be DC.
Yes.
You know, there's, they just do your thing. Don't worry about them. There's a comedian who said something a while ago on another podcast. He said, be happy for others, but keep your eyes on your own plate. You know, just
very well
be
said.
Be DC. Don't be dark Marvel. Be DC.
Yes. Yeah. I'll look at their animated movies. Marvel doesn't really do that many animated movies. And a lot of the ones that they do are kind of experimental and they suck.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. Marvel's animated stuff has actually been declining since the MCU.
Right.
Because
they're putting all their efforts in the MCU, where DC's animated stuff has been awesome.
Oh yeah. So. What was my joke a while ago? The worst animated DC movie is still better than Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And so there's one. The worst one I've seen was involved Brainiac and Superman looked weird and yeah.
Well, and so anyway. Think about it though. Like, so the animated universe is great. The Batman Arkham stuff is great. And the Telltale games have been good. Storytelling. DC knows how to storytell as long as they are being just themselves. I think a lot of it is they need to get rid of Snyder. If they get rid of Snyder, I will give you this. Like, even if Wonder Woman and all the movies turn out terrible.
Wonder Woman's not Snyder, right? Please say it's not Snyder.
I don't.
I don't think it is, because I think they made a point of saying it's a woman. And I could be very wrong. Perhaps if I knew how to spell.
Yeah, so his next one is just Justice League. And here's the thing. So he did 300, which was gritty, and people liked that. But
the source material was gritty, wasn't it? I haven't read 300. Yeah, it was
based off a comic book. Then he did Sucker Punch, which was gritty. People didn't really like that. I saw the movie and I walked away like,
I haven't seen that one.
Then he did Watchmen, which Watchmen was good. I liked Watchmen, but those characters were designed to be gritty.
Yeah, again, when he's true to the source material, staying gritty, that he's good. And a lot of people were saying, well, Zack Snyder could do Justice League. He did Watchmen, and that was an ensemble of characters. Yeah, but those were an ensemble of characters who only exist in Watchmen. You know, we all know who Superman is. No one knows who Rorschach is. I'm just saying.
Right. So Patty Jenkins is going, she's going to be, or she's the director for Wonder Woman.
Okay.
But according to Slash Film, Zack Snyder had a hand in writing now, the script.
I don't mind that, because for all we know, he could have just been like, hey, don't do that. That's going to affect Justice League. And then all of a sudden he has to have a writing credit. And I don't mind helping with script as much as doing it all. Like, I think that's why it makes Marvel so much better, is that every project is a different type of movie by the director who's good at that type of movie. You can't have Zack Snyder do it all.
Right, right. Like, Joss Whedon did not direct every film. Because
Joss Whedon did two.
Yeah.
And he's done. He's been burned out.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hope this turns out. I think that Wonder Woman is going to be one of those films that the critics either love or the critics hate. And it's going to be either the critics love it because they're like, we can't say anything bad because it's the first modern female superhero movie.
I think a lot of reviews would open with that. Like, okay, we understand this is very important for feminist culture and all this. Or that's probably not the right way to say that. But, like, we understand this is important for women, but this movie was. And then the review.
Yeah, I hope so. So, I hope that DCEU stops being bad. Now, how that happens, I'm willing to say, oh, they dropped Snyder completely. Or, oh, the film was good. So, we'll... 2017 will be the year that decides for me whether or not I care about DC movies.
Yeah. And let's face it. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see every one of these movies just because it's a superhero movie. I'm going to see it. Like, I'm sure as soon as Wonder Woman comes out, I'm going to get a text from my friend saying, hey, when are we going to see this?
Here's the thing. Like, David Ayers, who's doing Suicide Squad 2 and Gotham Sirens, I don't like him. Most of the parts that I enjoyed in Suicide Squad were the ones that he came out and said, no, the studio did this and they were stupid. I was like, no, these were what made it work well. And yeah, so,
well, didn't he also have like 6 months for Suicide Squad, like, to write the script?
Oh yeah, it was insanely short. I think it was even less than 6 months.
Yeah, and he has, and when's the sequel? Like, he has time now. Like, you know, Suicide Squad was good enough for a script written in 6 months. It was better than something I would have written in 6 months. I'm just saying, you know.
I don't know. I mean, that's, if you're getting paid millions of dollars to write something,
that's true.
I'm going to lock myself in a room and I'm going to write it, and I'm going to write it good, dang it.
Hey, even if they just say, we're going to use your script for Suicide Squad, I would tell my job, hey, I can't come in for a while. A lot of people are counting on me to get this right.
Yeah. Well, so it's David Ayers. He's the director who, on the red carpet for Suicide Squad, shouted F Marvel.
That's just not classy.
And it's not classy. And it goes right back to what you were saying to start this prediction, is that
stop worrying about Marvel.
Stop worrying about Marvel. Worry about yourself. Yeah. The Joe Quesada, who is the COO for Marvel, was like, hey, you know what? I have no problem that he yells that, because with that, he's admitting that people consider us to be better than DC. So shout that all you want.
Yeah.
So just focus on your own stuff. Bring your own game. Don't worry about what anyone else has. If somebody else is better than you, then they're better than you.
But it's like that joke after with sports fans, scoreboard, you know, it's like, you can be mad or you can be happy. If the next DC movie beats the next Marvel movie, that's going to be like, oh, DC's finally back. Like, no, check the scoreboard, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Marvel's 15th movie wasn't as good as your fourth. It would be fourth. Yeah. The next ones, but still it's like,
yeah,
well, check the scoreboard.
For sure. All right. My next prediction, I am going to jump over to comic books, because, you know, the comic movies and comic TV shows, completely different than comic books. Completely different. So this one is over the years, Marvel has been gender swapping their Avengers. Recently, Iron Man was replaced by Ironheart, the 14-year-old Riri Williams. She-Hulk is taking over the Incredible Hulk title. Jane Foster is Thor. Kate Bishop is a Hawkeye. Yes, there's still Hawkeye, but there's a Kate Bishop Hawkeye.
There are aspects of Civil War II that, like, yeah, I'm not surprised any of this is happening.
Yeah, yeah. And so then there is also, so I think it's time that Marvel swaps the gender of a villain. I think it'd be interesting to see Doctor Doom become a woman, or
I think if they're going to do anything, that it's going to be someone they can change it in the name. Like, I don't know what, all of a sudden now I don't think I have any ideas, but like, for whatever they're, anyway, now I can't think of any. Anyway, what, you have another example of one? You
maybe we get a Green Goblin that's a female. They've done the Loki as a female before.
Well, that's because
in Norse
mythology, those are dumb words together. Loki does change gender occasionally. There's a show on Netflix a while ago I watched called The Almighty Johnsons, where it's like the Norse gods in modern day. It was interesting to watch. Not safe for family, but it was interesting to watch. And that and Thor are the only place I get my info from.
So here's another villain they could switch that I think would be kind of cool to switch. Kingpin.
Ooh.
You have, because they could replace the Kingpin, have him taken down by a female, and have her just inherit the title of Kingpin. And so
would they keep calling him Kingpin, her Kingpin, or would she change it to Queenpin?
I would say Kingpin. They would keep it because she's running a criminal enterprise.
I'm just going to say this so we can tell the difference. The Queenpin is just acting as like the actual person in charge, while the person who is using the title Kingpin is just a front, is just a mask. Ooh, this whole time Wilson Fisk has just been a fake person, and the real person behind his organization has been a lady.
That could work. That could work for sure.
Anyway, I don't know. I guess the whole woman hiding behind a man in power thing has been used a lot lately, or a lot in general. And now I can't think of a single. Anyway. I keep coming up with ideas and then blanking on following through.
I'm trying to think of other characters. See, because some of these characters, I'm like, well, you may not want to switch them. There may be some issues there. But
so I know you're aiming this at comics, but what if they start it with Sigourney Weaver's character in Defenders?
Defenders, then.
Like, that's how they're going to introduce this new gender swap. Is Sigourney Weaver is, insert Defenders villain, who's usually a man, and now it's
woman. I could see that. Oh, they could do an anti-hero swap. They could make the Punisher a woman.
Yeah.
So, because he's not really a hero, but he's not a villain either.
Yeah. So are you thinking like along the lines like Riri and Jane are, you're not just starting a new book with, hey, yeah, but yeah, this time it's a woman.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm thinking along the lines of somebody picks up the mantle of a previous okay, villain. So you know, maybe it's Kraven the Hunter. Maybe Kraven's daughter picks up the chase.
Yeah. And you could have any character just be, oh, he was my father. I am using his tools now. You know, that's the laziest way of writing it, but I mean, it's still the shortest point. It's the easiest way to get you there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and, you could do something like, I don't know. They could do something really cheap and make like a female Ultron body. I don't love that. Galactus could become a female.
Yeah, for all we know, Galactus is a female. I mean, he's just a giant cloud. That was to make everyone mad.
Magneto's getting pretty old. Maybe they replace Magneto with a woman.
Well, doesn't he have a daughter who has the same powers as him?
Talking about Polaris?
Sure.
Polaris was created and first appeared in X-Men 49, 1968. She was a member of the X-Men until just after the debut of Giant Size X-Men. And then she they write her in as Magneto's daughter.
So yeah, it could theoretically work.
Yeah, you know, something like that. You know, take up the mantle of whatever villain. It's mm-hmm. possible. So that's, I think that's going to happen because they've been gender swapping the heroes. I think it's about time we get some of the villains in there too. Shake things up a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any more for us?
I'm trying to think of just one last completely insane one.
I got one of those. All right. Well, while you're thinking about one more, here's my completely insane. Like, I want this to happen, but I really don't think it's going to happen. Is that Patrick Rothfuss is going to announce a date for the third Kingkiller book, which doesn't mean a whole lot to you, I know, because you haven't read them. But Patrick Rothfuss has written the Kingkiller Chronicles, and it's about a magician, a wizard named Quoth, who just has this. He's a musician. He goes to magic school, and it's just a great story. And the way that it's all interwoven together, I've really enjoyed it. And it's a trilogy, and he's written 2.5 books. He wrote 2 books and a side story. And he's saying that, you know, what he has said is that he is trying really hard to get that last one just right, and he doesn't want to release it until it's just right. But I mean, we're talking years, and every year they keep saying, "Oh, he's going to release the next one. He's going to release the next one. And it just never happens." I just want the conclusion of this story, and so this is going to be my prediction that Patrick Rothfuss announces a date for the third Kingkiller Chronicle book.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'd add more, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, no, it's funny because they've picked up companies have picked up the rights for movies for it, and even without it being written, yeah.
All right. Well, if we're just going to shout out anything we want, I want the next GFL book to come out by Scott Sigler. Just going to say that, you know, it should book 6 should come out any day now, or be announced. I hope, because I want to know. Book 5 kind of ended on a cliffhanger. Well, not like a major. Anyway, yeah, my favorite book's the GFL. I want them to come out, the next one. He recently released a novella, but that doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count. No, it doesn't count.
Enough.
No.
It counts as in it was a book he wrote in the universe, but it's not, it doesn't add, it's kind of a flashback. Anyway, it's complicated. Wibbly wobbly.
Okay, this is the one with the Galactic Football League is GFL, correct?
Yes, GFL is Galactic Football League.
Okay. It sounds like an interesting story. I've just got so many that I'm trying to get through. And
oh, yeah. I don't blame anyone for... If anyone's bored, I suggest reading them, but...
This one has a podcast. He released it all as a podcast, correct?
Yes. They're all released as podcasts. The first book, I haven't re-listened to that one via podcast recently, but when he released them for Audible, he changed them from a adult book to a young adult. So, like, the podcast version at least swore a lot and was a bit more violent, I think. And then the Audible version is cleaned up, is more in the young adult genre than the hard genre. I don't know. Maybe I should actually listen to that podcast and get back to you.
Okay. So we got some high hopes for our books that we want to see released this year.
We have high hopes for 2017. I mean, we're asking a lot.
You know what? There was one prediction that I just decided to not make official, saying that 2017 with the celebrity deaths are going to be just as bad as 2016 with a margin of error of 10%. But I'm going to be hopeful and say, no, that's a bad prediction. I'm not going to make that prediction. I'm not going to hold that. I'm not going to hold that weight on my shoulders.
Yeah. Cracked did a live podcast where they summed up 2016. They did the thing everyone is doing. All this happened, and they did a flash forward to summing up 2017, and it was very funny. I don't want to spoil it, but it's rather funny.
Okay, that might be fun to listen to. But all right, well, let's wrap this thing up then. Thank you for listening to the Fandom Podcast. I hope we were able to help you escape your daily grind, smile, introduce you to a new fandom. If we did, take a minute, head over to fandompodcast.com/iTunes, fandompodcast.com/Android, or you search in your favorite podcast app for Fandom Podcast and subscribe. You can be part of the conversation by submitting a fandom to the Random Fandom by emailing us at random@fandompodcast.com, contacting us on facebook.com/fandompodcast, or fandompodcast.com/contact. Lots of ways you can choose however you want. Until next time.
Well, here's to another lousy millennium.
May the fandom be with you.